Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to episode 7 of This Week in the Hawks. And yes, that is correct. Episode 7. In case you missed it over the weekend, Eric Yeboah did This Weekend in the Hawks, episode 6, where he kind of looked at the Wizards and the Knicks games. Thankfully, he looked over the Wizards game because I sure don't want to talk about that game. But we'll get to that a little later. This is episode 7. It is Friday, the 3rd of February, so happy Friday. It is dark outside. It's quite late when I'm doing this, but hey, so let's give more context that no one cares about. I'm looking at a whole bunch of Star Wars posters. You know, gotta add that visual context to an audio medium. But hey, here we are for another one of these. Good lord, you'll probably realize that I'm still running with the same audio setting. My splitter has not arrived yet, and now the race is really on. Which splitter arrives back first? Does my audio splitter get here first, or does Tiago splitter make his return to the court? It's a tight one because you see Tiago doing a bit of sprints there on, I think it was a Friday night against the, or it was a Sunday against the Knicks. Yeah, one of those games he was doing a little bit of sprints. So hey, that's interesting. But hey, we're going to cover some NBA news first before we get into some Hawks news. And hey, we're all fans of the All-Star Weekend, so it's this All-Star related news. Yesterday we kind of got the participants of All-Star Saturday. We'll start with the Skills Challenge because it's the one that people care about the least. Looks like we're going to have bigs versus smalls again. So for the guards, we've got Booker. I'm guessing Gordon Hayward is in this mix as well. Isaiah Thomas and John Wall. And then the bigs are going to be represented by DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, and Kristaps Porzingis. I really like this little twist because I think the big men are always motivated against the smalls because the big men don't get as much credit and recognition that the guards do these days. You know, it's a guard-dominant league. These days, every team usually has a great point guard on their team. So I always look forward to this. It's going to be fun. But that's kind of all there is to say about the Skills Challenge. It's the least interesting one out of the bunch. But hey, at least it's a little more interesting these days than it has been in the past. Let's move on to the dunk contest, which I think is going to never... It's not going to live up to last year's dunk contest, but it could still be pretty good. So we've got Aaron Gordon is returning here to maybe get a crack at this. The crown he should have had last year. I'm going to throw that out there. DeAndre Jordan is a first-time entry here from the Clippers. Glenn Robinson III from the Pacers is coming in here. And Derek Jones Jr. of the Suns. Now, many people are going to be like, who? But this guy is a very gifted dunker, and he's definitely one of the... You know, throw a few quid on him if you're going to bet in this dunk contest. You know, throw a few sneaky quid on Derek Jones Jr. The guy can dunk. It's obviously disappointing that Zach LaVine isn't returning for another Aaron Gordon matchup. But hey, you know, LaVine, he won this thing twice in a row. He won last year's dunk contest for the ages, really putting the dunk contest back on the map. So I don't blame him for not wanting to come back. You know, he's done all he's needed to do for that dunk contest. He has thrilled the 2 years he was in it. And you know what? No one can be mad after last year for him not wanting to return. I am very interested to see what Aaron Gordon has got up his sleeve because I wonder if he can improve on last year's performance. We'll have to see. I have doubts, but hey, the guy is very creative, as we saw last year. So hey, we will see. DeAndre Jordan, I'm very interested to see because I don't know. He could be one of those better in-game dunkers than dunk contest dunkers, maybe similar to Andre Drummond. We'll have to wait and see. He can really get up there, though, DeAndre. So I expect him to use that to his advantage. And Glenn Robinson III, I'm also a little unsure in the dunk contest creativity department. But hey, I haven't watched Robinson III enough in game to really say that. I'm just, you know, it's just off the top of my head. But hey, that's the dunk contest, and here's the one I think. And before last year's dunk contest, you know, it was really the event, the main event of All-Star Saturday. It is the three-point, at least in my eyes, it's the three-point contest. Steph Curry is not coming back for this one, but defending champion Klay Thompson is. He's going to be joined by Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Wesley Matthews, Nick Young, Eric Gordon, Kyle Lowry, and CJ McCollum. I'm delighted we got some Swaggy P action in the All-Star festivities. I'm putting my money on him. He's going to win this one, and he's going to be great. So throw your money in there. I always prefer the three-point contest anyways, because usually with a dunk contest, you have one or two really good dunkers, but the rest of it feels like kind of eh. But for the three-point contest, you usually always get a great lineup of great shooters who put on a great show, and I think that's evident here. I mean, we got big names: Klay, Kyrie, Kemba, Kyle Lowry, CJ McCollum. Like, these are big names in this league, and they're all putting it out there on All-Star Saturday in the three-point contest. So looking forward to that. Obviously no Hawks here representing in All-Star Saturday, but hey, how about Paul Millsap for the skills contest? He'd be a great big to have in there. Put him and Draymond Green in that skills comp against the smalls. I think that would be, those two would really rock it. I really believe that. Let's get to some Hawks news. Let's go back to Sunday. The Hawks announced the signing of Lamar Patterson on a 10-day contract, and it's great to see Lamar back with the Hawks again. I'm personally a huge fan of Lamar Patterson. I was really sad when he was let go in the Summer League last year, and during Summer League last year as well. Like, come on, you could at least wait for Summer League to play out and before you release him. But I think the Jarrett Jack signing was kind of announced around then as well, and so Lamar was cut, unfortunately. I still remember when looking at the Summer League stats, you have your Matt Costellos and all that, and then just this blank line where Patterson was. It's like, oh, we've just deleted him from all existence on this Hawks Summer League roster. And you dig back through the archives 3 years later, and there's blank lines. Like, who the hell is that? It was Lamar. I'll always remember you, Lamar. Don't worry. Interesting quote here from Lamar Patterson. Not interesting, just one that warms my heart. Quote, "It feels like home. This is home." And, I'm really rooting for Lamar Patterson. I think he's a great fit in this Atlanta culture and their style of play. I believe he can shoot it, but I also believe he can create offense for others as well. I really like his passing ability. So I'm hoping that he can get a whole lot of time this week to really showcase himself. But I'm really hoping that he will get himself a deal for the end of the season, because I do believe I think he's a valuable player. A player with something to add to this team, especially in the wing department. And, there's been a few injuries here and there. And so I really like Lamar Patterson. I'm hoping that he can get a nice run in here. And just, do you, Lamar, do you? I mean, I'm for you, man. Keep at it. Other news this week, the Hawks. We kind of discussed this last week as well, but the Hawks confirmed it this week. They announced their D-League deal with the Erie BayHawks. They will assume command as such for the 17-18 season, the 18-19 season, and then they'll move to College Park in the 19-20 season in their new arena in College Park. I'm going to read a statement here from Tony Wrestler. I just like saying that. Like, there's like putting a little emphasis on Wrestler at the end there. You could roll the R as well, but I think it's just better to go with the Wrestler. So I'm going to quote Tony here. "Since becoming owners of the Atlanta Hawks, securing a D-League team has been one of our group's top priorities, along with the implementation of a large-scale renovation and upgrade to Phillips Arena and the construction of a new world-class practice facility, which were previously announced. This opportunity to start 2 years sooner is even better news for both Erie and Atlanta. We are excited to get a head start on Coach and Budenholzer and Wes Wilcox's efforts to develop players as they work to build a championship caliber team. We would like to thank the BayHawks' management team for working with our club and the city of College Park as it constructs a new facility, as well as the NBA D League for assisting us in our efforts." So, this report, this story comes from Chris Vivlamore of the AJC. He also says that he also reports that the current BayHawks ownership is involved here still, so they'll have that. Do they change the name of this team from BayHawks to something else? I think it's a nice little opportunity just to leave it as it is. because you have your Hawks. It'll be your, the location name will change, so it'll be your College Park Bayhawks. You have your little Hawks thing in there, obviously, to go to the senior team, the Atlanta Hawks. So I like that. They should keep it. I kind of like the even though there's no bays as such in College Park, per se. Kind of like the same where there's no lakes in Los Angeles, but there's still the Lakers. So I think they should keep that. I kind of touched on last week and what it means for Atlanta to have an all-star team. Good Lord, that'd be something, all right. A D-League team of their own. Just to promote young players, get some of their coaches down there and develop them, develop younger players. For the first two seasons, it's going to be a little bit of a pain to, send their players to all the way to Erie and then recall them back up. So it's going to be a little bit of traveling back and forth. But hey, the Miami Heat make it work with the Sioux Falls team, because that's a good... forgive me, I'm not too familiar with American geography, but I believe Sioux Falls is a fair bit away from Miami. And I don't know if Erie is even the town. I'm just thinking of Lake Erie. I'm guessing it's close to there. I don't know. I didn't do American geography for states and towns. So, hey, don't go at me too hard. So, yeah, good news for the Hawks announcing that. That'll definitely stand to them both this year and beyond as more and more NBA teams, have been getting D-League affiliates for themselves. Really promotes young players. And look at the Spurs, for example. Like I go back and listen to old basketball podcasts from, 2012, 13. And you hear them talking about, Corey Joseph sending down to the D-League. And these are players that are major pieces on teams these days. So, look, we could go all day about how important this is for the Hawks. It's fantastic that they have it, and now it's officially announced. So that's good. That's kind of it for the news. Quite enough week. No trades such for the Hawks. There are some interesting trades going on around the league with the Hornets and Bucks kind of announcing the Miles Plumlee headed to Charlotte for Roy Hibbert and what's his name, Spencer Hawes. Interesting trades going on, and I'm sure there's more to come as we get closer and closer to the deadline. But let's get into the games. Thankfully, Eric covered the Wizards game on Saturday or Sunday when that podcast came out. Oops, sorry, I forgot what date it came out on. Thankfully, because I'm not looking at that Wizards game. Horrible loss. But I do want to briefly talk about the Knicks game, because Eric talked about this. But because this was a 4-overtime game, I kind of had to talk about it. Absolutely incredible game. I was convinced that I think it was the first or second overtime, I think the Knicks went up 111 to 108. And I was convinced, I thought, and the Knicks had the ball, and I thought, oh, they score here, and this is it. This is where it ends. But somehow the Hawks kept going. Paul Millsap, just absolutely incredible. 60 minutes of play. Take that, Joel Embiid. I love Joel Embiid and all, as I talked about last week, but there's no way he can do what Paul Millsap does. And, that game, Millsap's first game after the All-Star announcements against the Wizards didn't have the great game, but this game showed everyone why he is an All-Star. Obviously, 4 overtimes helped him. 37 points, 19 rebounds, 7 assists. Incredible game. It's the one thing I didn't mention in my recap of this game was how I think every single one of the starting lineup, I think bar Brandon Jennings, they all fouled out, and Jennings was close with 5. Like Melo, Porzingis, and Courtney Lee eventually fouled out, and I don't know, I can't remember who the other starter was. No Derrick Rose this game for the Knicks. He kind of looked bored on the bench there. Again, Eric covered that game, so I don't need to go too far into it. And I also wrote a very extensive recap of that game on Hawksoup.com. You can check that out. But just an incredible game. 4 overtimes. It's one you'll always remember. What a game. What a game for the Hawks to win. Moving on to the other game the Hawks played this week. They were in Miami on Wednesday night, take on the Red Hot, no pun intended, Heat. And the Heat had won 8 straight coming into this game. They made it 9, beating the Hawks 116-93. A very disappointing performance from the Hawks. They had plenty of rest, no practice on Monday and Tuesday, in preparation for this game to recover. Maybe that was the issue, the lack of practice. Allen Iverson, maybe. But the Hawks were just kind of flat. The Heat just deserved this more. You know, they out-hustled the Hawks. Like, James Johnson. If you were watching this game, look, did you see James Johnson just fly around? Man, he looks completely different. He was fantastic. And he, on his own, out-hustled and out-energized every single Hawk out there on his own. So when James Johnson's doing that, you know, that kind of says a lot about your performance. Poor three-point defense from the Hawks. I touched on this in my recap. Unfortunately, it seemed like I was attacking Bazemore a little bit. Maybe that's just me thinking, being critical of my own stuff. But I didn't mean to be like that with Baze. It just so happened that all the examples I used, he was a part of and had a say as such in the threes that went down for the Heat. Mislapses, overplaying, gambling on steals. Fortunately, it wasn't a great defensive game by Baze, or anyone, to be fair. Bazemore actually led the team here in scoring, 14 points and 6 of 11 shooting. Had a decent game offensively, but I just didn't like that defensive performance from anyone, really, let alone Baze. We also saw DeAndre Bembry get some interesting minutes here, 22 of them, ahead of Torian Prince in the rotation here. Cephalosha was out, of course, for this game, so one of the rookies got to kind of step up there. It was Bembry. You know, he was there. I guess that's pretty much all you can say. The embarrassing thing is that he actually had a team-high 3 assists for the Hawks in this game. 13 assists is the second lowest assists game for the Hawks this season. They had 11 in Utah. And the Hawks had 11 here before Bud eventually emptied out the bench, even before the third quarter was over. Just threw in the towel really early, obviously with that game in Houston on Thursday night in mind, obviously on the road as well. So, you know, this game was a complete write-off. Get the starters out, get them some rest for a Thursday. Get the young guys in, get Lamar Patterson in, who made his first appearance here since signing that 10-day contract with the Hawks. He scored 4 points in 12 minutes. Nothing to really shout about from anyone in this game. Unfortunately, post-game, Mike Scott, who got to see some time here, was seen in the walking boot, Chris Vidlemore reporting there. So that's unfortunate for Scott. Nothing has gone right for him this season. It's really sad to see. But look, I'm still a Mike Scott fan. I'm still excited for him. And always will be excited for him when he steps on the court. Because, you know, you could just do something special, you know. I always think of Game 5, Indiana, 2014. He could do it. He could do it again. I believe it. I want to believe it. He's still a good player. And I believe he was part of the Hawks' best defensive lineup, or one of the best defensive lineups for the Hawks last season. I think it was that Millsap Scott lineup. And of course, the Hawks were one of the best defensive teams in the league last year. So, you know, I still think that counts a lot for Mike. So hopefully he can get things kick-started soon, but he's really running out of time in this regular season to kind of find that momentum. He's been trying to find it for a few months now, and it just hasn't come. But keep going, Mike. Keep fighting the good fight. Just as this game was kind of petering out, you expected it to play out into nothing, you know. Fourth quarter, game's over. We had a bit of a skirmish, unfortunately, for Torian Prince. He kind of got Whiteside in the air, and Whiteside came down hard, and James Johnson literally flies, hops over Whiteside, and goes right at Prince, who really didn't have a lot of time to react to it. You know, looking at it, and you know, I'm not going to say I know Torian Prince on a personal level, because I don't. I'm just looking from his demeanor on the court, I think it's safe to assume that he's not this type of player that just takes guys out of the air. You know, he mentioned post game that that Bud had mentioned to him that, you know, if Whiteside is near the rim, just kind of bear hug him, just wrap him up, don't let him score, make him shoot free throws. And unfortunately for Prince, he kind of timed it all wrong, got Whiteside at the wrong time, and was assessed a flagrant 2, so he was tossed. And I don't think you can have really any complaints about it, because, you know, he was, and, you know, sometimes when it comes to fouls, you know, the Hawks broadcasters, Bob Rathbun, Dominique, they do great, 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 great work, but you know, as with any home announcer, they kind of sometimes lean towards the home team sometimes in, you know, in calls. But even they, like, straight away, they were like, Bob was thinking this could be a flagrant too. So I don't think you could really have a lot of complaints about it. It was announced today, actually, that the league has fined Torian Prince $25,000 for this flagrant too, which I think is very surprising that it's that extensive. But look, when a player is in the air, really has no protection. And to go down like that, he could have easily had, Whiteside could have easily injured something. And, you know, that's no good for anybody. So, look, I understand. I do think it's a little excessive. But, hey, what can you do? Is there anything else in my notes from this game that was interesting? No. the sixth time the Hawks have lost by 20 points, which is not good. And then, of course, moving on to last night's game against the Rockets. You know, the Hawks had this game in mind when they were being blown out by the Heat. And it didn't look great for this game either in the fourth quarter. After the Rockets outscored the Hawks 36-26 in the third quarter there. They built up a 20-point lead with about 8 minutes left. And you're beginning to think, oh no, not again. You know, would you have expected a win against the Rockets? Not really. So you begin to think, oh look, 20 points. Okay, whatever. But that's when Tim Hardaway Jr. had other ideas. Timmy exploded for 23 fourth quarter points on his way to a career high 33 points. Drew the Hawks back in this game almost single-handedly on offense. The Hawks really locked down in defense and got some stops. Bud decided to roll with Bembry, Delaney, Bazemore, Howard, and who's the other guard? THJ. Of course. Decided to roll with that lineup for most of the fourth quarter. Paul Millsap, according to NBA.com, played 1 second in the fourth quarter. Dennis Schroeder didn't play at all. And, you know, that's gutsy for Bud to leave Millsap and Schroeder on the bench, particularly Millsap, because normally in these situations it's kind of been Dwight who's been on the bench while the Hawks kind of make a run. And they find a lineup that works, and, you know, Dwight sometimes isn't involved in that lineup. It was really interesting to see Bud kind of bench Millsap here. He wasn't really struggling as such. Dennis was struggling. Dennis scored 5 points on 2-12 shooting. I didn't really cover it in my recap, but because it was kind of really extensive already. But Beverly did a great job kind of cutting off Schroeder from the paint. And that's what the focus for D'Antoni was to keep Schroeder out of the paint, kind of make him a jump shooter. And Schroeder wasn't able to penetrate and get to the rim and be as effective as he normally is. Now it's reflective in the score and in his stat line. Millsap, you know, did much better. 16 points, 4 of 8 shooting, 7 of 8 from the line. It wasn't that he played badly. It's just more so that the Hawks kind of found a lineup that worked in the fourth quarter and just rolled with it. Bembry in particular was pretty good this game. You know, scored 10 points and 5 of 6 shooting. But defensively, I thought he did great work. And not so much in the first half, but in the second half, in the fourth quarter, did a much better job. Because he had the unfortunate, he was tasked with guarding James Harden at times. You know, he went off of 41 this game. Kind of no one had an answer for Harden, who kind of just got really cooking in the third quarter there. Scored, I think it was 11 points in a matter of minutes in the opening stages of the third quarter. But Bembry, you know, stopped falling for those fouls on the three-point line where, you know, just Harden, it's the, you know, and we see you all the time, James Harden, you know, the way he creates offense and foul shots for himself, you know, gets his arms in there. It's just a real mess, and unfortunately Bembry fell for that a few times. But in crunch time, as the Hawks were making their run, he was much better. He had Dwight to help him out, of course, when he was beaten, and, you know, he was beaten a few times by Harden, you know, who isn't? So Dwight was there, and he was a good presence for Dwight, of course. His first return to Houston since he left as a free agent, had a big line, 24 points, 23 rebounds in 37 minutes. 23 of those rebounds, you know, a lot of those coming from absolute clunkers from the Rockets, who shot 13 of 51 from behind the arc. So that kind of helped the Hawks win the rebounding battle 56 to 38 and helped kind of buff Dwight's rebound numbers there, because they, you know, and that's what the Rockets do. They will just keep shooting threes until forever, really, under D'Antoni. So Dwight, The Hawks, they looked for him early in the game, which I want them to do more of. They really seem to make a concerted effort to go to Dwight early in the first quarter, get him going against his former team. Whether that was the actual agenda, no one, I don't think anyone would kind of really say. But I would like to see them do this more often in games. And again, I'm always reminded of this. Tracy McGrady was on a podcast once. It was about Grantland back in the day. And he talked about how he would, on those Rockets teams, how he would get Yao Ming going early in the first quarter or the first half because he knew, and get his offense going, get him his points because he knew when it came to the last 5 minutes of the game, it was Tracy McGrady taking those shots, not Yao Ming. And I kind of like, I wish that the Hawks kind of adopt a similar approach to Dwight and just get him going, get the big man going in the first half, make him feel involved because I think with Dwight, sometimes you have to make him feel involved in the offense, and you're going to get a little bit more defense back because sometimes when he's not involved in offense, he kind of loses interest sometimes on defense. We saw that with Houston a lot last year, where he just looked completely disinterested because Harden would just do his own thing, crash into guys, etc. So just get him involved on offense, Dwight, and then you're going to have a, you should have a little more engaged Dwight on defense. And, Dwight, played okay defensively this game. There are some writers out there, I believe Nate Duncan wasn't too thrilled with Dwight's defense at times. And that's fair. But I thought Dwight was much better in the fourth quarter as things kind of got close. Much better protecting the rim. He had some really good plays contesting Harden's shot there at the rim that missed. And then the one play where Harden was kind of going baseline towards kind of the baseline of the rim. And Dwight kind of is there. Does a great job moving his feet. And then slaps the ball down on Harden, and it bounces off of Harden out of bounds. Now his hand did kind of hit Harden. His offhand kind of hit Harden in the face there, and I think the referees in the last 2 minute report concluded that that should have been a foul. And you know what? That probably should have been, but that wasn't what was called, or it was Rockets ball that was called. And of course, that was reviewed, and the Hawks over was there was overturned. And it was Hawks ball. Good game for Dwight here. Like we mentioned, but hey, and got a video tribute as well. There's also a timeout video tribute, which is strange because I'm just familiar with kind of end of quarter timeouts. What are you talking about? Our end of quarter kind of video tributes. So it was funny because there's a video and Dwight, because it's in during a timeout, so obviously Coach Bud is drawing up a play. And kind of Dwight just doesn't know kind of know what to do in a sense. But he gives a wave and got a good ovation after that video tribute from the fans. He mentioned that it was his first video tribute, which is true because Orlando sure wasn't going to give him one. Neither were the Lakers. Those are the other two teams he's played for, other than Houston and Atlanta. So yeah, interesting that maybe one day Dwight, maybe Vince Carter style. With the Raptors and how he only got a video tribute there. It was the last season, the season before last, when he was with the Grizzlies, and still is, getting that video tribute in Toronto. So I think maybe down the line when kind of the wounds are healed a little bit, we could be talking maybe 7 years down the line, maybe, if Dwight is even playing at that stage. So it's tougher for bigs, obviously, than it is for players like Vince who can extend their career by like 7 years by adding a 3-point shot. We'll see. Maybe one day for Dwight, maybe he'll have his jersey retired one day in Orlando. It really didn't end well there. But, it's good for Dwight to get this win. He didn't really mention post game that he was, didn't really matter about the opponent. It was more so that getting that bounce back win from that terrible loss against the Heat on Wednesday. And, he said all the right things, but I think deep down he was pretty stoked to get that win. And his teammates really wanted to get it for him as well. You could see it and how it kind of it meant a lot for him. And obviously, they got him involved. And it was definitely more concerted effort to get him involved in the first quarter. But hey, yeah. And really, really, really good win for the Hawks here. Oops, I forgot to mention the scoreline first. They eventually won 113 to 108. Obviously coming back from 20 points down. No Thabo again, obviously, to cover Harden. These are all things I should have mentioned beforehand. But hey, we're going to roll with it. Atlanta wins their second meeting of the season with the Rockets. So that's it for the season series between these two. Of course, the Hawks winning way back November, I think, against the Rockets in Atlanta. There's no Beverly that game, so that made things a little bit easier for Schroeder. I don't even remember if that was actually relevant because I remember his scoreline from that game. Anything else strange from this game? Oh, yeah, just with that defense, kind of the Hawks clamping down at the end there. They did a great job over the last 4 minutes because Harden, he missed it. I think he's going to the free throw line to shoot three. He makes two to put the Rockets up 106 to 99 with just over 4 minutes left. And the Rockets will only score two more points for the rest of the game. And it wasn't Harden, it was Patrick Beverley. Speaking of which, did you see this sequence? That was absolutely hilarious. I think Beverley put some pressure, this is in the fourth quarter, Beverley put some pressure on Delaney, kind of knocks the ball out of bounds. It's Hawks ball. And they're over at the score where the TNT guys are, Kevin Harlan and Brent Barry. And there's a bit of chattering going on. Beverly and Dwight, Dwight smiles, of course, and Beverly kind of does a little hand gesture where he's yapping up and down, saying Dwight's all talk, he's all talk. And I thought, okay, cool. It's Patrick Beverly yapping. There's no big deal here. But literally, like the ball is inbounded, and Delaney and Dwight go for like they. Dwight comes to set the screen and he flattens Patrick Beverley on the ground. It was absolutely hilarious because after Beverley was just yapping, oh, he's all talk, and then Dwight just absolutely flattens him with a clean screen, I believe it has to be said. Non-moving screen, just a firm screen that just floored Beverley. Absolutely hilarious part of this game. I really enjoyed that part. Oh, so good. It's still good even now. That's up there. One of my favorite Hawks plays of the season was just that. And kind of speaking of which, Tim Hardaway kind of capped off his 23-point fourth quarter with a huge dunk, faked it off the 3-point line, drove inside, and with Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella around, just crushes the rim, and the Hawks bench loses it. Oh, that was probably the biggest bench reaction of all season. They were hyped. Kind of says to what this win really was for them. Really important for them to get back on track. This was their first win against a team above 500 since January 1st against the Spurs. They kind of messed up the chances to kind of beat the Celtics, the Wizards, and the Clippers. They all lost too, but hey, they're back on track with a good win here. What a game. What a game. So moving on to the stats, instead of doing the stats from the week, it just makes more sense for me to do the stats over the last five games. I think that's better. So we'll roll with that. Last five games, the Hawks have a 3-2 record, averaging 110.6 points per game, ranks ninth in the league, on 44.5% shooting, 22nd in the league. They've shot 34.5% from three, 18th in the league, and made 75% of their free throws. It's 19th in the league. 48.6 rebounds per game. That's second in the league. Again, this is all over the last five games. 24.4 assists per game, which is good for ninth. 7.2 steals per game, which ranks 20th. And when I say ranked whatever in the league, this is amongst the whole league in the last five games. So these are all last five game stats. So 7.2 steals per game, 22nd in the league. 5.2 blocks per game, 16th. 17 turnovers per game, that's 28th in the league. And not helped, of course, by their 20 turnovers against the Rockets there. An offensive rating of 102.7 points per 100 possessions, that's 25th in the league. A defensive rating of 103.1, which is actually 5th. Best in the league of this last five games, and a minus 0.4 net rating, which is 15th in the league. So you get to see kind of where the Hawks have ranked in the last five games, where they're kind of excelling at in the league, which I think is presents a better view of these kind of stats. It's a good week for Tim Hardaway Jr., of course, as you can imagine. Over his last five games, he's averaging 18.2 points per game, on 42% shooting from the field, 36% shooting from three, and 80% from the line. Surprising in a sense, because Tim Hardaway has kind of struggled with his free throws. That was a problem against the Knicks on Sunday. 4.2 rebounds, 3.6 assists in 34 and a half minutes. Of course, he's started all these games that Thabo Sefolosha has missed this week. Another good week for Kent Bazemore. I think back-to-back, really. Over his last five games, he's averaging 15.2 points per game on 51% shooting from the field, 53.3% from the three-point line, and he's made all of his free throws, so 100% there. 3.6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.2 steals in 31 and a half minutes. I didn't like his defense against the Heat on Wednesday, but, you know, Bays, his consistency has been really good for the Hawks, and it's been great to see him bounce back like this, because when he was struggling, it was not pretty to watch, both from basketball standpoint and just looking at Bays' body language and that kind of thing was really bothering him. So I'm really glad to see that he's chained together a really consistent period here. Not such a good week, or last five games rather, for Thabo. He's missed the last three games with a left groin strain injury. We still don't know if he's going to be back for Saturday's game against the Magic. We'll get to that shortly. And then Malcolm Delaney's been kind of struggling here recently. 3.2 points per game on 16.7% shooting from the field. He's not made any of his three-pointers in the last five games, so 0% there. 75% from the free-throw line, 2.2 rebounds, 2.6 assists, and one steal in 20 minutes per game. Although he's been kind of struggling on offense, you know, and he also shot 1 for 10 in last night's game against the Rockets. Defensively, he's been very solid, and that's why kind of Coach Bud ran with him in the fourth quarter. You know, again, he found a unit that worked, and that they weren't going to emerge from Houston with a victory if they didn't get defensive stops, and that's why Delaney was in there. Bud found a unit that worked and got stops. He did that. But it's been unfortunate that, you know, after last week, kind of he was shooting much better, that, you know, things haven't been as good for Malcolm. But, you know, always hoping for a turnaround here for Malcolm. Just looking at the upcoming schedule for the Hawks, they play the Orlando Magic on Saturday, the 4th of February. And they're back out again on Monday, the 6th of February against the Utah Jazz. And then again on Wednesday against the Denver Nuggets. All these games are at home, so it's good for the Hawks to have a nice three-game stretch at home. I'm not as fan of that as many people, because the Hawks have not played very well at home. They've certainly played much better on the road, I believe. Their more spirited performances have come on the road. So hopefully they can right that wrong here in this three-game homestand coming up. That's going to kind of do it, I believe, for this week in the Hawks. Yeah, interesting game. I'm hoping they can have a better game than the Hawks against the Magic this time round. I think the last time the Magic were in Atlanta, they poured out 100. I think it was 131 or 130 points in the Hawks. And one of the worst losses of the season. But that is it. You can check out some of the stuff I write, game recaps, on hawkshoop.com. Eric Yeboah has got stuff going up there as well. Him and Avery get together sometimes and do a video recap after the home games. You can check that out. Shout out to all the Hawks Hoop crew. And anyways, thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed it, you know, maybe consider sharing it on Facebook. You know, give it a retweet or something. Retweet that, maybe. And have a good weekend. Have a good week. And talk to you soon.